Questions? Comments? It's a bit bright, so you might just want to yell it out.
Could you please speak about your musical score and the choruses that you use?
Yeah, we decided this very early in the process that I wanted to use old Icelandic folk music, which is actually has traveled from Eastern Europe, most of it from Russia to Iceland, and it has become a Icelandic folk music. And very few people in Iceland actually realize that these are Eastern European songs, and I wanted to use voices, a little bit like almost like ghost singing out of the lava, if that makes any sense to you. Like it would be coming out of the lava in music. Not I didn't want to. I wanted to have the typical thriller score as little as possible, and try to find a new way with you. No fiddles. And it's a young musician who did this with me called Mugison. He's both classical and he's a pop star in Iceland. But we worked this with some classical musicians as well, and from the choirs. And the police choir singing at the beginning is the Icelandic police choir. So they're fantastic. The policemen and they love singing. Well, we did speak to a lot of policemen in the process of making this film. In most of my film, I portrayed policemen with kind of making fun of them. So I hold them one. I wanted to be as honest as possible. Of course, there are different policemen, and I've been treated badly by some of them even.
Yeah.
But there are, we made a lot of fun of that because certainly I used to be that difficult when I was younger. But I wanted to portray with him as humanity as I thought possible. And for me, Erlendur, the main character, is a missionary trying to correct things that have gone wrong. And I spoke to a policeman that had walking to a place where a child has been abused, or a place where an old person has been dead for 2 weeks without anyone finding her or noticing it. And first, they all seem to, well, it doesn't affect us, not all. I mean, we get used to it, it's a profession. But the further you went in, you realized that was not the truth. It was really, first the stench, for example, of death. At least never leaves them. They're stuck with it for the rest of their lives. That's why I wanted also to portray. We can't feel smell in films, but I tried to get as close to it as possible. Like you can almost feel the death, the rats, and all this. And one thing is very important for me in doing this film is most films glamorize crimes. I wanted to do as much as the opposite as possible. It's petty. It's disgusting. It's ugly. And most people who do you make a living out of them are pathetic, not cool. So all the criminals are basically a lot of pathetic people in this film. And any questions?
How are the prisons still this easy to break out of?
Did anyone hear that? The question was, are the prisons still so as easy?
I tell you, it's like that. You walk out of the prison, but you're stuck on an island. It's basically a one big prison, and it used to be worse. I just got out. I wrote a synopsis of a script that was about two prisoners walking out of that prison, actually, was portrayed in the film, but never being able to get off the island. finding out the island is actually a much worse place than the prison that offered to me. So they ended up breaking into it again. I never made that comedy. Next question, please. We used to live off it for centuries. Now they have a takeaway place where you can buy it in, and that's exactly the place we used in the film. Everything in the film is basically how it is. And there was a big article, actually, a cover on the biggest newspaper, that after this film, the percentage of sheephead sale and takeaway sheets had gone up 300%. Honestly, this was, I'm not, what you might find disgusting is actually as many people find it appetizing. It's delicious.
How expensive is it?
Oh, it's not so expensive, you know, for some reason. No, my wife, who's a cosmopolitan, lived in New York for a long time, every time she has a drink and we go late home, she wants to go to get a takeaway sheephead. It's a bit of a turn off, but. We live with it. We have five kids, so it's not that bad.
Next.
Right here.
Yep.
Are you working on another film right now?
Yeah, I just wrapped a film a week ago before I went up here to the States. Oh, sorry, kind of went just to Colorado. And it's called The White Knight Wedding, and I'm starting to edit it. Yeah, it's based on very loosely based on Ivanov by Chekhov. I'm doing with the same cast a theatrical production of Ivanov and White Knight Wedding, which is a contemporary film that happens in Iceland today. I'm trying to make those two medias I've been working on for a long time to make them meet. You know, I'm trying. We decided it was very important. The idea behind it is that I really wanted to show also a different part of Iceland that you most of the time see in films. You see the glaciers, the beautiful mountains. I wanted to show you the wastelands, the barren lands, the lava fields, and this missionary somehow alone trying to correct things. And I think, you know, that's why we choose to have this really high aerial shots, which I think also almost add a biblical feel to the film.
You also, I mean, it's unusual to see sort of the more low-rent part of the film.
It's because Iceland has changed a lot over the years. Well, you see it in the genetic company, which is, you know, really the genetic company that we are criticizing, which is fantastic that they let us shoot inside the company at the same time. Only in Iceland you could get to do that. I mean, this company is on NASDAQ, so it's really vulnerable. Actually, the head of it called me this morning. I haven't answered the phone yet. I decided to make him an offer that he could justify his company on screen, which I think is fair. You know, we criticize it, you can justify it, and I edit it, but but still, it's like, you know, there are always two sides of things. They're doing great things. Okay. They found something that, you know, some gene that affects the heart attacks in black Americans, for example. This company up in Iceland, and they are making a medicine out of that, which is quite important, but it's a very controversial thing. And I felt when this company was put on that we were being made out as white mouses, you know, Icelandic people. The nice thing you use us to test, you know, some syndromes or things, because it's such a small community and it's so easy to follow it, you know.
There was someone there.
The cast was spectacular. Can you speak a little bit to the casting?
Yeah.
Do you want to hear that?
Yep.
The question was about the casting spectacular. You
fortunate. I work with a lot of Icelandic actors, both in theater and film. And I come from that community, so I know pretty well everyone, apart from it being very small. And I, for me, when I'm casting, what I'm trying to gain is the soul of the character rather than its external looks. So, and I knew Ingvar, who's the lead, for example. We went to class together as actors. I started out as an actor. And he's a loner. No, I mean, he's a sex symbol and he's a star and all that in Iceland. but he's still a loner in his heart. And if I can find, and it's kind of the core of the character and the actor who matches the what I'm casting him for, then I know it's going to get right. That's basically my theory in casting. I don't, in the book, because when I announced that he was going to play this, because this novel is quite well known in Iceland, there was a lot of writing up about it in the papers because people thought he was supposed to be fat, and but fat isn't a character. That's a state, of a physical state of a person. That's not a character. So for me, it doesn't matter, you know. In the core of the character is the important thing.
In the middle there. The lady, yeah.
Okay, given the popularity of this film and the popularity of the novel and other novels by the author in Iceland, do you have any intention of turning some of the in Jufason's other novels into film?
Well, we have been talking about doing Lady in Green. I'm not over excited about, you know, doing sequels or what they're called, but there's a fantastic novel, Lady in Green, and it's probably a bigger film because it has a period in it, and even in a, you know, English speaking part, but the whole thing happens in Iceland. But we're discussing of doing that film, but probably in a couple of years.
One more? Just shut it out so we can't see people like that. There we go.
I noted the title of the film is one word. Is it really dark city?
No, it's not. It's a swamp, a bog. It refers to the house is built on a bog. So it sinks the ground and creates its hole, breaks up the pipes in the houses, and that's where they dig up, you know, and in a swamp you can find all kinds of things come up. And it refers to the old stories or the crimes that are bubbling up, you know, through the film. It's just it didn't translate very well. the block. We'd only have the front row. But the novel is also Jazz City anyway, so I followed his path in that. But it's very different, by the way. I don't know if anyone here has read the novel. The structure, the tone is very similar, but structurally it's absolutely, totally different, the film or the novel. So it's probably interesting for the ones who enjoyed the film to take a look at the book, and you can see how an adaptation, how far it can go, actually, without losing the novel. I hope.